song, The All-American Boy.
Wave the flag for us in high voice. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Here's an imaginary incident which might take place almost any day at any of these airports. A small yellow training plane has just glided into a perfect three-point landing. It taxis up the runway, and as it stops in front of the hangars, Fred Hale and its pilot steps out. Johnny Terry goes over to the plane to congratulate Fred on his first solo flight.
Congratulations, Fred. That was a swell landing.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. Boy, what a thrill.
I'll bet it was.
Hey, where's your parachute? I thought you were going to solo today, too.
I guess I won't.
Well, come.
Oh, I just don't feel up to it, you know.
Yeah, I know. Same way you felt when we tried to get you to go out for football last year.
Oh, it isn't that. It's just...
Listen, Johnny, you're not fooling me at all. You're not in good condition.
Well, I'm not sick or anything like that.
But you just haven't got what it takes. Look, you want a good piece of advice?
Sure.
Get yourself a good year-round training program and stick to it. One like Jack Armstrong's personal training rules.
So what are those all about?
Well, they're one of the best ways I know to help a guy get into good shape and stay there. I follow them right to the letter the year-round, and I think they're tops.
Well, what are they?
Well, they're easy. Get plenty of fresh air, sleep, and exercise. Keep clean. And eat a breakfast of champions every morning.
Hey, that sounds pretty simple.
Sure, it is simple. And believe me, there's nothing like a big bowl of Wheaties with milk and fruit in the morning to help you get off to a swell start. Why, those Wheaties taste like a million.
Say, that breakfast of champions idea sounds all right to me.
All right, nothing. It's doggone near perfect. Say, why don't you start training Jack Armstrong's way?
Yes, no matter what you're doing, playing football, going to school, enjoying a vacation, or flying, you'll get more out of it if you're in shape. That's why I suggest you start training Jack Armstrong's way just as soon as you can. Stock up on the makings of a breakfast of champions by getting Wheaties, fruit, and milk right away. Then make a keen-tasting, nourishing breakfast of champions your regular breakfast treat. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Jack, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim have recovered the lost uranium-235 from Professor Loring's sunken yacht in the Sulu Sea and have sailed to Zamboanga in Mindanao to put the precious uranium in the safekeeping of the United States Army troops stationed at Pettit Barracks. Their schooner Spindrift is tied up at the Army wharf, and while Michelle stays aboard the schooner to guard the uranium, Jack and the others are walking up the hill to Pettit Barracks to see the commanding officer. Listen.
Well, Uncle Jim, everything around here looks so civilized. Well, it's not at all like the part of Mindanao we were in before.
That's the U.S. Army for you, Betty. Look at those trim barracks and that neat parade ground ahead of us. Everything looks ready for inspection, and that's a sure sign that the troops are ready for anything.
But jumping crickets, Uncle Jim, you don't mean to say that the Mindanao tribes around here give any trouble.
You wouldn't think so to look at this orderly town, Billy. On the surface, everything's peaceful. But look at that range of hills beyond the parade ground. They're only a few miles away, and yet once you get on the other side of them, you're in a wild and savage country.
But there aren't many fierce Moro tribes up here, are there, Uncle Jim?
There are a few when you get into the interior, Jack. But many of the natives around here are the Visayans, and there are fierce Manobos also. When I served in the Philippines years ago, they gave all sorts of trouble. I came down here once to help put down an uprising.
There's the entrance to the post ahead of us, Billy. And look, there are two sentries at the sentry box. They're going to stop us.
Do they always have two sentries together, Uncle Jim?
No, they don't, Betty. Evidently, there's been some trouble around here.
Trust us to arrive when there's some trouble in the air. Never a dull moment. That's our motto.
Well, I guess there's always trouble in Mindanao, Billy. Especially when half of the Moros are banding together to fight the other half. Look, the sentries are coming down to Port Arms. One of them's going to challenge us.
Well, I want to see the commanding officer of Pettit Barracks, my lad. Is it all right to go on in?
Yes, all right, sir. If you'll give me your name, I'll telephone it ahead.
I'm James Fairfield, captain of the schooner Spindrift.
The Spindrift? Oh, begging your pardon, sir, but isn't that the schooner that was supposed to be lost in the typhoon?
Yeah, that's the one.
But say, how did you know we were supposed to be lost in the typhoon?
Oh, we got a radio report from Manila to question all incoming vessels about you.
Jack, I knew that steamers were on the lookout for us, but I didn't know that the Army was looking for us, too.
Colonel Brewster, he's the commanding officer, sir, will be glad to know that you're safe. His headquarters are in the first building to the right.
I'll telephone him from the sentry box right away.
Thank you. But tell me, why are the sentries doubled up now?
Oh, there's a lot of unrest in the tribes up in the hills, sir. Somebody has been working among them lately and stirring them up.
But no tribe had come down and attacked the United States Army.
They better not try it. But some of them are praying to steal arms and ammunition. Two or three of them will come on the post in the daytime just as though they were on regular business, and they'll hide somewhere and break into a building at night.
Oh. Have they stolen any rifles yet?
Somebody stole a few rifles one night last week. And a few nights later, we caught a couple of the hillsmen trying to steal some more arms.
But who on earth would want to stir up trouble among the tribes?
Well, there's a lot of talk about that, too, miss, but no one knows for certain.
Well, come along. We'd better get on and see the commanding officer and get our cargo put away safely. You'll telephone him, will you?
I'll do it right away, sir.
Oh, that's
right.
That must be the headquarters building ahead of us, Uncle Jim. Look at the funny-looking iron cannon in front of it.
Here comes a soldier down the steps, Uncle Jim. Why, he's coming to meet us.
I bet the commanding officer sent him to meet us when the sentry telephoned, Jack. Here he comes.
Colonel Brewster asked you to come right into his office, sir. It's the first door to the left.
Oh, thank you. I guess he expects us, Jack. You go right up these steps and see him.
Well, I hope it's cool in the colonel's office. This hot sun's terrific.
Gosh, yes. Say, it looks pretty cool in there.
This must be the door here, Uncle Jim. I'll knock.
Come in. Well, so you escaped the typhoon, Captain Fairfield. Congratulations. We're all worried about you.
Well, we didn't intend to cause everybody so much concern, Colonel Brewster. In fact, I didn't know that everyone was so worried.
Why, of course we were worried. Didn't you think we'd know who you are? Why, all the old-timers in the islands remember you when you served here years ago. And half of the young officers know all about the airplanes you make. And we've all heard of Jack Armstrong and Billy and Betty. Sit down. Sit down. Tell me, what can I do for you?
These chairs are certainly comfortable after being on a boat. There is something you can do for us, Colonel Brewster.
Hmm.
And I know you won't mind if I ask you to keep it an absolute secret.
Of course I'll keep it a secret.
We have on board our schooner a box containing some uranium-235. We want...
Just to... a minute. You mean uranium, don't you? Well, you couldn't possibly mean uranium-235.
I mean uranium-235, Colonel Brewster. I see that you understand how rare it is.
Rare? Why, it's rarer than radium. It's what those scientific Johnnies are using in their experiments with atomic power.
That's it exactly, Colonel Brewster. You may be surprised to know that somewhere right here in the interior of Mindanao, there are rich uranium deposits. So rich that they yield an amazingly large amount of uranium-235 by a simple method of extraction.
Why, I can't believe it. You know, I've heard that if a scientist can get enough of that uranium-235, he can probably unlock the secret of atomic power. Man alive, if that's ever done. Every airplane engine, every steam engine in the world will become obsolete overnight.
You're absolutely right. So you can see how important it is that we don't permit it to fall into the hands of anyone except the United States government.
Important? It's the most important thing in the world.
There are a group of unscrupulous adventurers who know that I have this uranium-235, however, and they'll never give up trying to get it from me. So I want you to keep it for the time being.
Well, why don't you take it right back to the United States?
I can't right now. The scientists who discovered this rich deposit of uranium and who extracted this uranium-235 that we have aboard is somewhere in the interior of Mindanao. He's held captive by some Moro tribe. He's Professor Loring, and I've got to find him and find those uranium deposits.
He's held captive by some Moro tribe, huh? Why, I'll send troops to find him. I'll send my whole regiment into the interior if necessary.
Well, I'm afraid that wouldn't do any good. The Moros would kill him as soon as they heard the troops were coming after him. So it's up to us to locate him and to rescue him before the Moros suspect what we're doing.
Perhaps you're right, Captain Fairfield. And if you want to leave the uranium-235 here, I'll lock it up in my secret vault. I'll keep it absolutely safe until you return from the interior.
Well, that's splendid. You having any trouble in the interior now?
Trouble? Nothing but trouble. It's like living on a powder keg. I'm expecting an officer any moment whom I've sent out to collect some information. Oh, he's coming up the porch now. Perhaps he'll have some news for us.
Didn't I tell you, Jack? Didn't I tell you there's never a dull moment? But we don't live on a powder keg. We carry the darn thing around with us.
Come in, come in. I thought it was you, Lieutenant. Captain Fairfield, this is Lieutenant Rawlings.
How do you do,
Captain?
What's the bad news today, Rawlings?
More unrest, sir. There's trouble fermenting somewhere near here. But I haven't a clue yet as to who's causing it.
Yeah, but you found out something, Rawlings. I can see it in your face.
I think I've located the village where the trouble starts, Colonel. After I confirm some rumors I've heard, I'm going back to it.
Yeah, but what's the village? Where is it?
It's called Mulita. I had to leave my horse at the main trail and hike through a jungle path to get to it. Here. I can tell you exactly how far it is from the main trail.
Jack, look what he's taking off at his belt. What kind of a watch is that?
It's not a watch, Billy. I don't know what it is.
But he's reading the dial.
My pedometer says exactly 4¾ miles, Colonel. That's the distance because I stopped at registering after I mounted my horse.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate this village of Melita more thoroughly, Rawlings. Show your pedometer to Jack Armstrong. I see he's interested in it.
There it is, Jack. Quite an instrument, isn't it?
Boy, I'll say it is. Does it tell you how far you walk?
Tells me exactly how far I walk, Jack. You can see that it has readings for 4 different lengths of stride. I put it on my belt and forget about it until I want to see how far I've gone.
Gee, Willikins, I'll bet you find that useful in the jungle.
Useful? You don't know the half of it. On those trails, I'd be lost 12 times a week if I couldn't keep track of exactly how far I've walked.
It must be lots of fun to always know how far you've gone.
Now, this is something developed especially for hiking, Betty. It's called the pedometer.
Say, Uncle Jim, we ought to have something like that when we go into the interior. It'd certainly help us to know where we are.
It certainly would, Jack. But we'll look into that later. I want to get that uranium safely ashore. Let's see what time it is. It's now...
Say, where did you get that?
Get what? Oh, my wristwatch. Why, it was a present from a scientific society.
Why are you so interested in Captain Fairfield's wristwatch, Rawlings?
Why, I can hardly believe it. It's an amazing coincidence.
Coincidence? What do you mean?
I mean, I saw one exactly like that just a few minutes ago.
You saw one just like... Wait a minute, Lieutenant. Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive. There's no mistaking that peculiar shape. It had a stop second hand on it, too. I could swear it was the same watch.
Oh, but you must be mistaken, Rawlings. Why didn't
he, Colonel Brewster? There's just one chance in a million that he's right. And if he is, it's of the utmost importance to me.
But could there be another watch in Mindanao just like yours, Captain Fairfield?
There could be, Colonel Brewster. A watch like this one was presented to the missing Professor Loring at the same time mine was presented to me.
Holy smoke, Uncle Jim. You mean...
I mean, Billy, that if Lieutenant Rawlings saw a watch like mine, that watch came from Professor Loring. And the man who owns it must know something about the whereabouts of Professor Loring.
Say, that is something. Where did you see this other watch, Lieutenant Rawlings?
At the town market, just a little ways from Pettit Barracks. It was on the wrist of a native who sells spices.
Jack, Billy, I've got to get that uranium safely ashore. But I want you to go down to that market right away. Find that native and look at the watch. Look at the back of it to see if Professor Loring's initials are there. And if his initials are on it, try to find out where the native got it.
You bet we will, Uncle Jim.
Can I go too, Uncle Jim? Can I go with him?
All right, Betty, you go with him. This watch may be the first step in finding Professor Loring.
Say, if that watch really is Professor Loring's, it looks as though Jack and Uncle Jim have picked up a red-hot trail. But where will the trail lead? If it leads into the interior right away, well, you've heard of what's going on behind those distant hills. Unrest, threats of uprising, and arms and ammunition stolen from the government. You just know there's plenty of excitement, and you'll certainly want to be in on it. So listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow for another thrilling episode of the Zamboanga Adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Look, I'd like to have you do this for me right now. Hike out into the kitchen and take a look at the supply of Wheaties. If it looks to you like the supply is getting low, remind Mother tonight to get you a couple of packages of Wheaties the very next time she shops. Check up on those Wheaties right now, won't you?
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just five Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.